Welcome to Journeys of Maxa podcast. Today I'm here with Madeline Garcia, who's a trumpet instructor here at Maxa. Welcome, Madeline, to the show. So glad you could join us.
Hi. I'm happy I could be here.
Yeah, awesome. So let's talk about you and trumpet. So was that the first instrument that you picked up?
It was. I mean, in all technicality, I guess the first one would be the euphonium.
Really?
Okay. Yes. Okay. And but that was before I moved, and I moved to a new city, and they started middle school in seventh grade. So
okay.
I went there, and I chose trumpet.
So. Okay, so let's okay. We're gonna back up, you know, pretty far here. So then before euphonium, then before euphonium, had you had any exposure to music, like in your family or with your friends or anything like that?
On my dad's side, they had a little or a church band that. They would have, so they sang, and my dad was in high school band, my mom was in high school band.
Okay.
But no, not really.
But they had that tradition that they had been in band, and so then at some point they're like, she's getting to be that age where it's time to do band. So it sounds like for you then it was the band in the school that got you started, and you also mentioned there was a move. So with you moved to, well, where did you move? Where did you start out from?
Okay, I started in Andrews, Texas. It's this little oil-filled town down in the Permian Basin, and I started there. I grew up until fifth grade there, and then we moved to Midland, which is about 45 minutes away.
Okay,
because my stepdad. Moved out to that Chevron office down there.
Okay.
And we moved there, and I went to middle school. I went to elementary school, which was sixth grade there.
Okay.
And then in seventh grade, that's when we kind of had the summer before, and I picked the trumpet.
Okay, okay. Well, you picked trumpet or euphonium?
Trumpet, yeah.
Trumpet, okay. Mm-hmm.
Back in Andrews is when I picked the euphonium.
Oh, okay, so back in Andrews. So, So when you're in Midland now, right? And so when you're in Midland, and you probably had the choice to do euphonium, but what led you to choose the trumpet?
I walked up to the trumpet first. Actually, I wanted to be a percussionist,
but
I cannot play my left hand. I'm actually struggling on piano right now, but I cannot play left hand.
Okay.
And they were like, yeah, let's try something else. And I was like, okay. And so I walked towards the trumpet. And, you know, I connected the mouthpiece, put it up, and I played a C within the staff, and that was pretty good. And the band director, Mr. Molinar, he was like, wow, you have a really nice tone. And then that was it.
That was it. Yep. It was like made in heaven.
No other option.
Okay, so that's very interesting. Okay, so let's walk through that again. So you wanted to be a percussionist, right? And then and then you discovered at some point that you're very right hand dominant. Let's say we could say that you don't have a solid left hand, or we could say very right hand. Your right hand's really good. You know, we could play it off like that. And then you weren't going to do percussion, and so then there's this trumpet. Now, was it like one of those things where like the light of heaven came down upon it and was shining, and that's why you walked up to it, or was there some other?
It was the first one in the order. I didn't even look towards the woodwinds.
You probably couldn't have, see. Okay, you were just like, this is it. So you got it. You put it together. You played it, and you played a good C, right?
Yes.
A good C. The band director is like, wow, that's a really good tone. And then there it is. So, okay. So then clearly it was a good choice because you stuck with it. And not only stuck with it, but like it's a big part of your life, you know?
It is, yep.
So we're going to walk through a little bit, like how did it go from, because I think that's so interesting how it is that someone goes from, you know, like prior to that moment, prior to that C or putting together that mouthpiece or in that day, you know, your journey hadn't been, including the trumpet, right? And then suddenly, like, something happens. You're put into an environment, and then trumpet is the thing that, it's almost like it selected you in a way, right? Kind of.
It's
like, we want her to play. And so so what was it then, as you got going with the trumpet, like, and you're doing it in band, learning how to do it, like, what do you think kept you interested, kept you excited about it?
Well, actually, one of my cousins, he had played the cornet / trumpet, and he had kind of stopped. So we had a free cornet that was just there.
That's useful. So we had opportunity. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So we had a cornet, and it wasn't, you know, it was a little old. It wasn't the shiniest, prettiest thing
right.
there.
Okay.
And I had seen everybody else's trumpet slash cornet, and I was like, I kind of want a different one. And I had asked my mom one day, I was like, Mom, can I have a new trumpet? And she said, you know, I never see you bring home that trumpet once. You never come home. Okay. And this was in seventh grade. Okay, and she was like, I've never heard you practice at the house. Why am I going to go do that?
This is a very good practical parental question to ask.
If you don't want to. And I was like, I guess. And she said, if I see you bring home that trumpet every day from band, in eighth grade, you will get a new trumpet. And I was like, okay, so I guess. So I went home, brought it home, and then I was like, I suppose I should practice. I'm here.
That usually does help.
So I came home every single day, brought it home, and sure enough, eighth grade comes around, and I got a brand new trumpet. So
that's awesome.
I would like to say, like, I was a dedicated musician, and I no, it was really my mom telling me that I could get a new trumpet if I brought it home.
Now, this is a great lesson, though. I mean, for one, for students, if you want something, make sure your parents can see that this is not the same thing as you wanting like a pet giraffe or something like that. Like you're really dedicated, and I love the way she said, I've not seen you bring this home. I need to see you bring this home, right? And then I'm sure in her mind she was probably thinking you would practice, but I kind of like that she didn't mention that. And then you realize, well, I got this thing here. I might as well do some practicing. And I'm going to guess that you probably got a lot better at the trumpet because of that, right? That's generally what happened.
I would say so, yes. Yeah.
And then so what would you say the reaction? I mean, it sounds like your mom was very supportive. So what would you say? Was she supportive on all sorts of different interests you have had, or was she trying to kind of guide you in a direction? I'm talking about musically at this point.
So back then, I guess I had a new hobby every week. It was photography, videography.
This is one of the other reasons she was cautious about the trumpet.
Photography, videography, music, music making, whatever. And I guess once she saw that I like improving. I'm not going to lie. I do. That's a competitive person.
That's
so I love improving. Yeah. And I guess once she saw that I liked it, that was something for her to be like, okay, this is what I should push her into. I mean, she's supportive of all outlets I've been in and doing. But, you know, music is something that connects to her. She was a flute player. And music connects to her. And she loved the sound of the trumpet. And so it was just kind of like, oh, well, she plays very nicely. And, of course, I didn't, but I think she thought I did. And so then she kind of just guided me and helped me and pushed me to be practicing all the time and be better. And so, yes, she's very, very supportive.
That's great. You know, it can be a little confusing, too. And it's actually really important for, you know, children to try out a lot of different things. I think adults too, frankly, it's important to try a lot of things. And then, but then eventually you have to like, okay, I'm going to work on this, because otherwise what happens is you don't get to work on excellent skills and self-discipline if you're always changing. Because what will sometimes happen is you hit a barrier, right? You hit a barrier like, uh-oh, this is harder than I thought, or this part that felt easy, now I have to do something that is outside of my comfort zone. And so then you just change, because that's sometimes easier. Clearly she felt that, okay, this is one of the things that you could develop your excellent skills on. And I love that you said that you're competitive, and that's something to be proud of. You know, I mean, it's important to grow in your life, and that's a wonderful thing. So you're in middle school now. What was it like? Did you do marching band, or like what did, or that whole thing, or
middle school? So we only had seventh and eighth grade where I went to school, and they didn't have marching band in middle school. So it was just showing up every day. Obviously, beginner band. I was just in a big class with trumpets. And then eighth grade, you go to advanced band. So over there, I think I kind of started focusing more on improving in eighth grade, because, of course, coming from seventh grade, you think you're the best. And you go into eighth grade, and I was like, sat kind of lower, and I didn't like that. And you know, middle schoolers are middle schoolers, so they like to say a lot of stuff, you know, pick on you. And so to kind of quiet that down, I tried my best, and then eventually I got like first chair of the advanced band.
That's a big deal.
And I was very happy with that. And of mm-hmm. course, there were other players who had been playing longer than me. So I mm-hmm. felt good to be yeah. like, oh, you know, I'm barely a year into this.
Right.
And then
right.
so like the competitive aspect, I think, started in middle school that okay. way. it was a good and bad thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah. I had a really great teacher.
What was your teacher's
over
name?
Over there. His name is Mr. Molinar.
Okay. Oh, right. You mentioned that before.
Right. Okay. Uh-huh. Mr. Yes. Molinar. He was kind of the foundation, stepping stone mm-hmm. as to why I love band so much. Mm-hmm. He is awesome. Mm-hmm. We really connected. I, like, the way I'm dressed now is how uh-huh. I've been dressing since I was in seventh
okay.
grade.
Uh-huh. And you find something you like and it works, right?
Okay. Yeah, we used to wear the same shirt uh-huh. sometimes.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so, you know, we would go and take uh-huh. pictures and, like, That's take awesome. Pictures of our marching uh-huh. shirts. And I don't know, he just connected with me, mm-hmm. like, you know, as a teacher mm-hmm. in both, like, band and mm-hmm. outside band. Like, he mm-hmm. was just really, really great. And he kind of influenced me to look at music mm-hmm. In a different way. And
right.
not just, I mean, the kind of the mentality I have about it not being ink on
yes,
a paper
yes.
and like more than that, that yes. he kind of like helped develop that idea for me, that it was more than just music. It mm-hmm. was like life, and like it had a mm-hmm. lot of influences into everything. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that you're mentioning that because in your bio, it, mm-hmm. it says that you feel that music is more than ink on the page, which mm-hmm. I love. I love that way. I thought mm-hmm. that was such a nice way of putting it. I other people will say the same thing in different ways. I think for myself, I usually say going beyond the page or whatever, something like that. But that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
People don't. Well, that you have to have that connection, right? Otherwise, mm-hmm. it becomes just a repetitive chore in a sense, mm-hmm. where it can be transformational in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually, what happens too in someone's journeys, you have, you know, a supportive environment in your family,
mm-hmm.
but then you need someone outside of the family too to
right.
also be a guide to you and take you under their wing and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And it's hard to find those people. So what happens, we can be, you know, blessed or lucky or whatever to
mm-hmm.
find those people. And it sounds like you really found a great
I
one
did.
In
mm-hmm.
Mr. Molinar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's very proud of you.
I hope so. I
yeah,
haven't seen
yeah.
him in a while.
Well,
but, yep.
well, we'll have to, you should reach out, because I'll tell you what, as a teacher myself, I really do love it when alumni students
mm-hmm.
Reach out to me again. It's just part of what makes teaching so, so wonderful,
mm-hmm.
but that's amazing. So mm-hmm. he really influenced you a lot.
He did.
And what do you think? Say a little bit more about maybe how, or what was it like to go from, obviously there was a point where you were probably just playing, you know, here's some notes and I'm going to play these notes and,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then you went beyond that. Do you remember like when you first had that realization, like, oh, this can be part of my heart, you know, do you
mm-hmm.
remember what that was like?
I think once he kind of like made teaching more about helping kids, because
mm-hmm.
of course, like, it's so easy to be like influenced into, you know, maybe like not trying as hard
mm-hmm.
in school and not trying as hard in band.
Right.
And he kind of made it where it was like, it was fun to try. And that,
ooh,
that was
really
like,
good.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
that's
that,
really, really
and
good.
That's
yeah.
what made me like consider that, you know, I had been told my whole life, like, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to
mm-hmm.
go here, like, you're
mm-hmm.
great at arguing, like, this is what you should do.
And
it wasn't until
it. Okay. Uh-huh.
the end of eighth
uh-huh.
grade and kind of, like, saying goodbye to him and, like,
mm-hmm.
moving on that I was like, I might want to do this
yeah.
in the future.
That's
and
huge.
So,
yeah.
yeah, and then it kind of progressed from
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this, you said something also very important, that the environment, so in middle school environment
mm-hmm.
can be very I don't know, deflating sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm picking up from what you said is that the environment, there was a, like the school environment, the social environment was kind of deflating in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he and the band was able to be a leader and an inspirational leader,
mm-hmm.
be down there with you and help you rise up and make trying
mm-hmm.
be a good thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because in some instances what will happen is that kids will, you know, attack you for being the one who's trying hard,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very, very negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't even want to try, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like he was able to manage that, which is very hard to do
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm. It is. And
yeah.
that's
uh-huh.
honestly why I want to teach middle school. Everybody
yeah.
always asks, they're like, you don't want to teach high school? And
yeah.
I'm like, I do,
mm-hmm.
but I would love to start on middle school
yeah.
because that's
yeah.
just like the fundamental age, I feel
mm-hmm.
like,
right.
where I got it, like, instilled in me to just...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, try harder, be better.
Right. Well, it's a very critical time, and it's also mm-hmm. a time in a person's life when you're a little more open to the influence of the outside guide, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. outside person who's going to help you, because you are beginning to develop, you know, yourself, you mm-hmm. know, and you kind of have to. It would be a negative if you didn't develop your independent self. Mm-hmm. But it can be just very hard to find those guides. So mm-hmm. it's one of the reasons that I think this is important to mention to people is that sometimes they're not mindful of the people that are in the child's life in mm-hmm. terms of not just teaching that skill, whether it's basketball or, you know, mm-hmm. Basket weaving or whatever, or mm-hmm. trumpet, that person, well chosen, could help this student, you know, make their whole life successful. You know what I mean? So it's really, really important. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about high school. Okay, so you get out of eighth grade. Uh-huh. Now you have to switch teachers, right?
Yep.
Different program. Now, mm-hmm. now, as you just said, too, you went from seventh grade, smaller pond, eighth grade, bigger pond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the eighth grade to high school thing is usually a pretty big jump.
And it
so
was.
What was that like?
Yeah. So me being at the top of eighth grade, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm going to go into high school and it's going to mm-hmm. be a breeze. It's going to be so easy and, right. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I show up to summer band, I guess my freshman year, mm-hmm. I show up to summer band and I was placed on it's called the A line in marching okay. band. Okay. And it's basically the alternative line.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
yeah, so you don't have a main spot.
Oh,
you,
wow. Okay. Okay.
You know, you just kind of march to the side and learn how to march.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And that crushed me
oh,
so, yeah. so bet. Badly. Yeah. Yeah. I went home, or I didn't, mm-hmm. I went, we practiced on a parking lot and mm-hmm. right across, or some tennis courts. Mm-hmm. And I went to the tennis courts and I called my mom and I was just crying
of
and
course.
Crying.
Yeah,
and I
was
like,
yeah.
Mom, I don't know what to do. I'm on mm-hmm. the A line. I don't even want to keep going. Like,
right.
this is so, like, I hate this. Like, mm-hmm. why? I thought I was good. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, I get home later that night. And this is actually a story my band director still talks about to this day.
Let's hear it.
So I go home uh-huh. and they tell me, well, they being my mom and my stepdad, mm-hmm. They tell me, well, you know, you're at the bottom of the totem pole. You're a freshman. Mm-hmm. You're competing with people who have been there, have done
right,
it. You're
right,
new.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. This is like a learning lesson, mm-hmm. you know, to just always be open-minded to the fact that there can be and are people mm-hmm. that are better than you and,
right.
and blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right.
And they go, okay, well, did you talk to, his name is Mr. Collins, the head mm-hmm. band director mm-hmm. at MHS.
Yeah.
Did you talk to Mr. Collins? Well, no, I didn't talk to Mr. Collins. Why would I do that?
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
And
right?
they were like, well, how, my mom's supposed to, how do you expect for him to know you and want to put you on mainline if he doesn't know you? And I was like, well,
yeah.
I don't know. And so she goes, okay, tomorrow, mm-hmm. what I want you to do, and she was, and I'm very argumentative, like, mm-hmm. especially back then, no, I don't want to do mm-hmm. that. I don't want to do that. That's embarrassing. And so I'm arguing with her, and she uh-huh. was like, okay, Madeline, okay. You can listen to my advice, mm. you can take it, mm. or you can just say okay and not do it at all,
mm-hmm.
and that's up to you. But
right.
I'm just going to give it to you so
right.
that way you
beautiful.
Know.
That's a beautiful way of advice. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So she said, you're going to show up tomorrow
mm-hmm.
Before rehearsal starts, and you're going to take off your hat because, you know, you got to wear a hat. It's
okay.
a summer band.
Right.
And she's like, you're going to take off your hat, you're going to shake his hand, and you're going to say, hi, Mr. Collins. My name's Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trumpet player. I noticed I was put on A-line. Is there anything I can do mm-hmm. or improve on myself
mm-hmm.
that can get me a mainline spot?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, no.
Uh-huh.
And so I show up the next morning. Sure enough, obviously, I listen to my mom.
Right.
And I take off my hat, and I
uh-huh.
walk up to him, and I'm like, hi, Mr. Collins, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, hi. He was like, hi, Madeline. He was like, I honestly think that if you just go home and, you know, work on the marching, blah, blah, blah. He was like, you'll get it easier, and we'll see what happens. He was like, usually mainline spots open up, so
mm-hmm.
we'll see what happens. Okay, so then, 2 days later, I had just been practicing,
mm-hmm.
and he, you know, I guess had been watching, and
of course. right, of course.
I was just practicing,
yeah.
and he stops rehearsal, and A-line was back here, and mm-hmm. main line was in front, and
mm-hmm.
so he goes, Madeline, from the top of the tower. And I was like, yes, sir. And I look up at him and I run across the field. Uh-huh. And he goes, you're now, I think, if I remember correctly, uh-huh. he was like, you're now T19. And I was like, okay. And then he goes, so assign your new drill spot and start marching T19 today. And wow. I was like, okay, it's time. And from then on, mm-hmm. I think I just, something changed for me. Mm-hmm. From then on, every marching show, I was T1. Mm-hmm. T1. Wow. And going into my sophomore mm-hmm. year of high school, because there's a freshman campus, and mm-hmm. so that's just ninth graders.
Oh,
so
okay.
There I had been principal or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just trumpet, first chair.
Right.
But I went into the next school, which is MHS, not expecting to be the top, and I had learned my lesson.
Right.
Sure enough, I showed up to region. Mm-hmm. I had been practicing. I had been whatever.
Yeah.
I was trumpet one as a sophomore.
Wow.
And,
amazing.
You know,
that's
and there were like
deal.
Seniors
wow,
and yeah, juniors
huge.
That
right.
were just like,
right.
what the heck? And
right.
I just showed up. And from right. then on, I had been mm-hmm. T1. And he talks about that day. Mm-hmm. I think still to this day, mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. says, he tells his students every year, there was this student, Madeline, who showed up, talked uh-huh. to me, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you want a mainline spot, you have to put yourself out there and
right.
work for it. And
yeah.
so, I thank my mom to this
big
day
time.
Because
yeah, that's amazing.
If it weren't for
wow.
that,
yeah.
I think, like, I don't know. I would have never been.
Well,
yeah.
this is, we got to take this apart. This is a massive and impactful story you're telling here. First of all, the way your mom gave the advice is a beautiful example of, especially with a teenage person, especially someone who's a little argumentative, that you can give them a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's my advice. I'm going to give you this advice. I'm your mom. I'm your mm-hmm. mom guide. I'm going to give you this choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make the choice. That
yep.
way you own the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good advice. Now, the fact that you could push your ego down
mm-hmm.
and go do that then the next day, because you probably like worried about it all night long. You might have woken up early, probably had a bad night's sleep, and walk through that and do that was huge. And I bet, and the reason he talks about that,
mm-hmm.
guess how many people have probably done that in his whole career? Like one,
mm-hmm.
one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know in my own experience too with teachers, especially I had some mean English teachers, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I was really struggling. And I had a friend finally say, you know, why don't you just go like ask them a question? I'm like, ugh. During office hours, like, yeah, that's what they're there for. I think I was the only person that showed up to this one teacher's office hours.
Mm-hmm.
I was struggling with a paper. Sure enough, she made this paper so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was the mean one. This is the teacher that everybody said, don't take an English class with this particular teacher. She was
mm-hmm.
actually quite brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my point is that teachers want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And they can seem intimidating and distant like that. He's dealing with a lot of different people, a lot of pressures, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you did that really stood out to him. And then, of course, you had to also deliver,
mm-hmm.
right? You also had to deliver. So you can't, you have the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
right? Opportunity knocks. Are you ready to answer the door,
mm-hmm.
right? You were ready. You worked. You
mm-hmm.
improved. He could
mm-hmm.
tell you were committed. And he could trust you because he has to trust that you're going to
mm-hmm.
do that. And then what I also like about that is then when you went to the 10th grade,
mm-hmm.
you didn't go in with that same expectation
mm-hmm.
of 7th grade to 8th grade, right? So
right.
that's a big lesson. What a lesson. So let's talk a little bit. I'm going to skip ahead. We're going to go through life a little bit here. Let's talk about when you first had the conversation with your parents about, okay, I want to go into music.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like and what was their reaction?
So I had known I wanted to go into music for sure, like solidified since my sophomore year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So then it came around to picking colleges. And I will say this is where the story also goes into a whole nother
mm-hmm.
a lot of roadblocks, a lot of
right.
okay. Yeah, things that I have dealt with. So it's time to pick colleges. And my senior year, I had gotten into some like bad relationships with some bad, you know,
mm-hmm.
or not bad, just they weren't great, you know,
right,
and
yeah.
I started slacking off, honestly,
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
music. And luckily, academic, I've always been like academically like driven. So
mm-hmm.
it wasn't
mm-hmm.
like hard for me to stay on top of
right.
class.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to music, I mean, you have to practice to
right.
stay where you
right,
are and even
definitely.
Get better. And I
right.
wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom noticed that. And
mm-hmm.
my stepdad noticed that. And they just, I mean, every day was probably a lecture about like what happened, like you're changing, like you're
right,
not
right.
like what's going on. So then when it came time to college, I just went wherever my partner was going at the time. And then my friend and I, my best friend and I decided, you know, we're all going to go there together. Mm-hmm. And so I chose, which I didn't choose, like, I mean, I chose UT, which,
which is a big school. Yeah,
I chose UT, but I didn't try musically. And, my parents saw that, and they want, honestly, my mom has been the biggest supporter of music education being my career. She sees it. She sees how much I love teaching. She sees how much I'm like dedicated to what I do. And like, I'll have some family members being like, you're not going to make any money. You're not going to, you know, the common things with music.
Right.
And she shuts them down. Mm-hmm. She has been the most, her, my stepdad, my dad have been the most supportive people of like that, just my music education journey.
That's
fantastic. Yeah. And so, you know, they were like, okay, I got into UT. I was automatically accepted because of my ranking in high school. But when it came time to audition for, I'm going to say BSOM, Butler School of Music, I was not prepared, honestly, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I showed up unprepared. And sure enough, when the results came out, like, oh, who got into the school? I didn't get in.
Right, sure.
So freshman year, I was defeated, to say the least.
Right.
I did not get into the Butler School of Music. And those kind of relationships I had formed in, you know, high school, they continued in college because we all went together.
Right, all went together. Right, absolutely.
And I failed my freshman semester. I failed my freshman semester at UT. I was placed on academic probation. But I was still trying. I knew that I wanted to be an educator. I knew that I wanted to be in music. So I was trying my best. I was practicing. But at the time, I didn't know you had to have a certain GPA to get into BSOM.
Okay.
So, of course, I'm not going to get in with a... Candidly, I had a 1.7.
Yeah, that's on the low
And I was
side.
On
yeah.
academic probation, and I was not...
Right.
I didn't get in the second time. And so, you know, my parents had been telling me, like, you got to work on academics. You got to work on practicing, like get feedback, like do whatever you can. And because they wanted me to be a music educator.
Right.
They know that that's what I wanted.
Right.
And so I tried really hard. And the next two semesters, so spring semester of freshman year, fall semester of sophomore year, I raised my GPA up from a 1.7 to a 3.0.
Whoa. Yeah.
Like, exactly. 3.0, and with, that was the
double.
That was the minimum requirement to get in. And so I was like, I was practicing, you know, trying to get better. And I guess it had come around to my third time auditioning. And so I auditioned in January. And as a backup, I was like, I can't be a junior and not have a path yet. Like, because I'm just going to keep wasting money, keep wasting time. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I also auditioned for UTSA and, you know, just like as a backup plan because UT was my dream school, but I also needed to be real with myself and like focus on music education more than the school.
Right.
And so I didn't get in again. So for the third time, I had gotten that email, we're sorry to inform you, you're not accepted, And then I got an email a little bit later, and it was like, we want to offer you a scholarship here at UTSA, and we think you did great, blah, 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 blah,
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, that's why I'm here.
That's awesome. You know, the just stop for a second. So, because I love, first of all, thank you for being so candid about this, because these are very, very, very valuable things. These are experiences that people go through in their lives. We just don't tend to put those out there because, you know, we tend to talk about all the shiny stuff, right? But this is part of what we all can learn from each other and get strength from. One thing is to, I've seen this pattern happen too with people that have a lot of ambition, get a little exhausted, a little bit burnout, you know, at some point. And, or maybe almost like so used to being at the top that they kind of take it for granted a little bit too sometimes. And that, in the pond that they're in, right? In their end. And then they try to go to another pond or whatever, and then it's different. It's a different situation, right? So the tenacity, I think, is really, really critical there. I will also say one other thing I thought about when you're talking about the story is that one thing that happens in academics, I think, especially in a school system, is that you're being what is it? You're not being looked at for your individual potential in the same way as you are with music. Like you said, mm-hmm. you are the one playing the trumpet.
Right.
It's you. Mm-hmm. We can tell if you're practicing or not. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're in like an academic class, it's a little bit more. Your work is a little hidden in a sense, right? And mm-hmm. sometimes you can. You can sort of get by if you happen to have a knack for academics, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're grading to the whole class. Do mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Whereas mm-hmm. music, even if you're in an ensemble, there's an individual aspect to that, right, too. So anyway, and then what's also good is that when you said that, you know, the ultimate thing is I want to do music education. Mm-hmm. So whether it's at Butler School of Music mm-hmm. or UTSA, mm-hmm. I need to be where I can thrive, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's another critical thing is that you not getting into a school doesn't mean you have to give up on your dream and goal. Mm-hmm. In fact, you might find that it's a far better path, a far better situation for you and where you are and what you need to in the future bring to the table for your students and your mm-hmm. career. So, but not everybody would have been open to that. So I think that's amazing that you were open to that. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about, I know I'm jumping over a lot of different things here, but you've got so many great stories that I wanted to make sure I heard those. Let's talk a little bit about trumpet teaching in particular, and we're excited to have you here. You're starting a program mm-hmm. here. We haven't done trumpet. I think I told you it's been many, many years since we did trumpet, and we're excited to have you here. One of the things that we do is when people ask, well, do you have trumpet? Do you have this? Do you have that? Well, it's like, well, we don't have it. What we really try to do is hire excellent people. Mm-hmm. And then if they're open to like creating a program, you know, then great. And that's what you're doing here at Maxa is, you know, basically spearheading, mm-hmm. you know, what could be a great trumpet program. So say a little bit about like what you hope to accomplish with students. And private trumpet lessons, yeah.
I hope that I can kind of give them what I feel like I didn't have. Mm-hmm. Over there in Midland, there's not very many opportunities for private lessons, specifically in
right,
trumpet.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had one for a few months, and he was great. But then, mm-hmm. you know, he got a better job opportunity, and he had
this
to move.
This is when a teacher in Midland, right? Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. yeah.
And mm-hmm. he had to move. And then I mm-hmm. went with actually another one of, like, my great mentors, Mr. Villanueva, who's the assistant mm-hmm. band director at MHS, and he's a trumpet player, but of course he has a band to take care
right,
of
and
he's the freshman band director as well, mm-hmm. so like he has a job to take care of,
right.
And you know, I just hope to give students like kind of like tips that I didn't get
right.
and I'm barely learning now as mm-hmm. a junior in college,
mm-hmm.
like especially just like practicing what books mean, because I didn't know, like, for example, Arben, Clark, mm-hmm. Schlossberg, like I didn't know those studies existed mm-hmm. until I got to college, and I would have benefited a lot from them
mm-hmm.
in high school and
right.
middle school
right.
And so I just hope to like push on my knowledge and wisdom of what I've learned
mm-hmm.
and like in ensembles. I've been in like high school ensembles, region ensembles,
mm-hmm.
college ensembles. Like, I feel like I have a lot to be said about a lot of this stuff and just helping students the way I wish I could have had someone
right,
tell me those
right,
things.
Right,
and
right.
Luckily, being in a bigger city like San Antonio, there's a lot more options.
That's true. That's true.
But I just hope to, like, even if I push one kid into, like, I don't know, being a little bit better in their ensemble
mm-hmm.
or region, or, you know, they're deciding between music education and going to school to be a lawyer, I just hope that in some way I can help them see, you know, what I see now as
mm-hmm.
a college student
right.
and hopefully, you know, band director, high school band director. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it sounds like, so one of the things that I hear you saying is, and I think this is, you know, when you're working with even a great mentor in band or an orchestra,
mm-hmm.
Choir for voice people, they're still, you know, their main focus is that entire ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear you saying, I think, is that having a private instructor on top of that
mm-hmm.
Will be kind of a game changer potentially, right? I mean, even
mm-hmm.
though you were like number one trumpet in Midland,
mm-hmm.
do you feel that if the younger Madeline had you teaching
mm-hmm.
yourself,
mm-hmm.
okay, if that makes any sense, in
yeah.
high school,
mm-hmm.
private lessons,
mm-hmm.
what do you think the difference would have been?
I think I would have for sure been a little bit more ahead of the game, because mm-hmm. there were other students who had private lessons mm-hmm. and, you know, they knew fundamental things that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I mean, how could I? I was like one of many, you know,
right,
and so
right, right.
Just kind of honing in and soloing, like, just fundamental things, mm-hmm. especially for a brass player, they're very, very important. And I
right.
think that would have impacted me and
right.
helped me a lot, because
right.
now I'm having to go through the fundamentals
right.
and work on them.
You know, people don't, I'm sorry to jump in, because
no.
you said this is so important. I think people have a tendency to associate fundamentals with either boring or stuff that you shouldn't deal
mm-hmm.
with, because
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, those are fundamentals, you know. But I'll tell you what, if you are not standing on solid fundamentals,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you can have some advanced skills,
mm-hmm.
but it's like your foundation's on sand, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically what happens once you are with a more advanced teacher is they have to go back and fix the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
So that then, and then of course you can really soar, but it takes a lot of determination for you too, because you've developed all these habits and these ways around
mm-hmm.
like kind of these shortcuts, right?
Yeah.
That are maybe work in a certain situation, but not all situations. So fundamentals are really critical, even though
mm-hmm.
they're not as exciting sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of someone's real ability to be a master of something, you've got to do the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that. Now let's talk a little bit about, just real quick, about you have other interests, I think, too, right, besides trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
So what other things are you pursuing in your life or interested in, you know, these days?
So I, you know, I hike outdoors.
Okay.
I hang out with friends a lot.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoy, like, just socializing and being around, you know, my partner and my best friends. And I live with my cousin and my brother, so
uh-huh.
it's nice to, like, hang out with them. I hang out with my friends who live back in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And then aside from that, I think kind of into computers, kind
uh-huh.
of into IT,
yeah.
stuff like that. I had a job. A really great job at UT for
mm-hmm.
a year and like 8 months.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of came from my mom taking me. So my mom has a degree. I don't remember the exact
okay.
name, but something with like information systems and IT.
Oh,
and
wow.
so,
okay.
yes.
Right.
So her job, you know, was going uh-huh. to, she worked for MISD over there. And so she went and fixed computers. So
mm-hmm.
over the summer, if we weren't doing anything, you know, we kind of saw her and
oh,
like go
okay.
with, yeah, went with
along.
Her.
Right. Okay.
And so I think that's what like pushed me into
mm-hmm.
IT a little mm-hmm. bit. And then obviously going into the classrooms, I was like, oh, I kind of
ah,
know what to do here.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
and
yes,
so
absolutely.
That was
right.
like an outside hobby. And
right.
I hope sometimes like I can bring it into now, because
mm-hmm.
there are issues that, you know, my friends or my brother will be like, oh, can you help me with this? Or
right.
me and my mom will talk about something like, oh, mom, like, the sound isn't working, and she'll
mm-hmm.
be like, oh, did you try restarting the sound drivers? And I'm like, you're right, I didn't do that. And it's like, you know, she teaches me like all this, like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, different things
mm-hmm.
about it. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's those, you know, hiking, socializing,
right.
and just kind of IT is,
that's
like,
a lot of
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, because especially it's clear that you really are enjoy people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy people.
I do. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and people are using technology a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? And frankly, I'm certainly a novice at IT stuff, so
mm-hmm.
I'm like, now I know you, so this is good. So like, I know you, and but that's a very phenomenal skill just in life to have, as well
mm-hmm.
as potentially, you know, for professional reasons. But that's amazing. So
mm-hmm.
so now you're working on your degree. You're hanging with friends, you're hiking, especially
mm-hmm.
when it's getting nice weather like this,
mm-hmm.
you can get out some more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spearheading our trumpet program here
mm-hmm.
at MAXA, which I'm very grateful for you, for you to do that. And excited to see where that goes. So thank you so much for
mm-hmm.
talking today. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you all for joining us. I wish you well on your journey. Please tune in next time. Bye-bye.